Say praise the Lord. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, sisters. Amen. Well, I want to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day. And there's some that call different days like this that they were created by Hallmark. Well, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know, it should be every day that you honor your mom and dad. But if it takes Hallmark sometimes to give us a little nudge, well, that's okay. And just because they created don't mean you got to go buy one of their cards. As they say, that's what they created for, a way to sell cards and make money or whatever. But why? I never find a card that seems to say what I want it to say. Most of the cards I find say, I know I never tell you I love you. Well, I can't use that card. I tell them I love them about every day, anytime I talk to them. And if they say something to me and say, I love you, well, I don't let that just lay out there in the air. I said, I love you too. I don't care who's around to see it or hear it. I don't care where we are. My mom comes up to me to give me a hug, boy, I'm going to hug her back. I don't care who's around or my dad, that's my folks. And, a lot of times kids, they get a certain age when they're in school, and they get that one certain age where they're a little bit embarrassed of their parents. And I heard, was hearing, reading about this one individual said they's embarrassed because their mom come and picked them up in a Camaro. And I said, they're stupid. If my mom had come pick me up in a Camaro, I wouldn't have been embarrassed. I'd have been telling everybody, that's my mom right there. I don't know. Well, amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here this morning. Ask God that you'll guide us, Lord, in this service, Lord, as we commit ourselves to you. Ask for you to anoint us that we might be a help to the people. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. I wasn't sure direction I was going to take. I just want to talk to you while you're turning. We'll be reading verses 16 through 22 of Romans chapter 4. I wasn't sure what direction the Lord would have me go, and I've got enough experience to where when it's not coming real quick and it's getting, closer and closer to Sunday, I don't panic. I know that the Lord, he's always on time. And I've had the Lord give me a message just a little bit before I come out of the office. And like I was sitting back there a while ago, it wasn't that I didn't have, I could go on the sermon that I've been preaching on. It wasn't like I didn't have anything to preach, but I just waiting for that little nudge of God, which way to go. And I looked up a little something. And so I want to preach a Father's Day message to you today. And so let's read from this scripture here, Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. You may be seated. What I want to speak on today is, I title it this, You Take After Your Parents. You Take After Your Parents. Might seem a strange scripture reading, but I believe we're done here this morning, you'll realize why that I felt led to read that particular scripture. The other day, was in communication with one of my kids, and they were telling me something they had done and said, and I asked them, I said, did you hear your mother's voice when you were saying that? You know, I said, you sound like your mom. And they said, yeah, they actually did hear the voice, said, and they thought, oh my goodness, I am my mom. And I told them, I said, well, you had that moment. Everybody has that moment, you know, where you say, man, I'm my mom, or man, I'm a dad. As you, something, the way they taught you or how they said something, why you'll find yourself at some point in life, when you reach that point where that would be befitting, it's just going to come out. One of the things my mom used to say to me all the time was, hush that crying or I'll give you something to cry about. And, you know, back then I never could understand that. When I got a little older, I understood that statement. And when that statement made sense to me, I used it. But I heard a mother not long ago was out, and I heard a mother say, told her child, said, it's okay to cry. Go ahead and cry. Well, it is okay to cry. But boy, I just didn't take a whole lot of crying. If they're hurt, then let's get them fixed, you know, and tend to it. And if they're crying, well, that's all right. But, man, if they're just, one thing I can't stand is whining. You know, now, my granddaughter Lottie, she's got this little fake thing she does, you know, and she's learning how to open doors. She opened the back door, she's going to walk outside, and her mama stopped her, and she said, and I looked at her, and I said, that ain't real, you know, and she can just turn it off and turn it back on, and well, Michael's like that, too. Michael can turn tears on and off of his. And but you know, if it's a legitimate cry, you know, to get hurt somebody, that's all right. It's that whining stuff that I can't, you know, it just gets to me, you know. And my nieces used to come and stay with us. Some of y'all might remember them years ago. And the oldest one, she had stayed with us before, and then her next sister down from her come to stay, and she started whining, you know. And her older sister said, now, Natty, listen, we're at Uncle Jerry's house now. We don't whine here. And I thought, you know what? They're smarter sometimes what their parents give them credit for. You know, we don't whine here. In other words, there are other places it's appropriate, but not here. But I, you know, I have had different individuals say to me, they'd see me walking up the aisle here. And Brother Horner said to me one time, said, you walk like your daddy. He said, you're starting, the older you get, the more you're starting to remind me of him. And Mina saw me standing back there by the door one day. And I was speaking to different ones as they come out, greeting them, and she said, just the way I was standing reminded her of my dad. My brother teases me, my dad and I, if we wear a jacket, we have a habit, we don't even think about it. We will constantly be putting our hand in the pocket of the jacket and smoothing out the flap on it, you know, a sports jacket or something. And my brother teased me, he said, one of these days I'm going to sew them things shut, you know. And I told him, I said, well, I had a new suit that I got in that pocket wasn't unstitched yet, you know, because they come stitched. And while I was preaching, I sat there and undone them stitches on that pocket without even thinking about it. I just, you know, it's just a nervous thing, I guess, or a little thing, you know. And my dad, he's got some other things maybe he does. And it ain't conscious things, you know. We were watching Michael, you know, as he's got older, we're watching the way he would drink and how he eat, you know, and how he'd move his mouth and things and noises he would make and that. And several different ones of us have all said, he eats like my dad. And now, he ain't been around my dad. He never learned this. He wasn't taught it. He didn't sit there and watch him. It's just something down in there just comes out. Now, been out here around town, and I think by the time he gets to be a grown man, why everybody in Dixon's going to know him, and he'll know them, because he talks to everybody now. He'll turn around to somebody behind him and say, hi, and just go to talking to him. And I said, he gets that from the Horners. That's from the Horner side there. He just talked to just anybody and everybody, you know. And he don't know a stranger. He just talked to him. And I thought, well, my goodness, he ain't but 1 year old. Now he's already acting like his the Horner side of the family, just out there. Like I've seen you do, Brother Jim, just talk to people. And David, you know. And I thought, you know, that ain't something they learn. It's just something that's down in there. And it comes out. And, you know, there ain't nothing you can do to try to hinder that. Ain't nothing you can do to really stop it. It's in there. It's part of who they are. And it comes out. Brother Branham said there was a lot of folks told him that he looked like his granddad. And they said, well, you talk like him, even said you even got a nature like him. And Brother Branham was talking about his granddad a little bit, you know. And I thought about it because he was doing the comparison, said, yeah, there is a lot of things, you know. And I've never, through the message, there ain't a whole lot of places Brother Branham ever talks about his granddad. Mostly about his dad and his mom. But he was talking about his granddad here, and he said his granddad was the one who built the tabernacle there. And that was in the message of Believing God, preached in 1952, if you want to look it up and hear it. But he said, some say you look like him, you talk like him, said you got a nature like him. And I thought about that, you know. You got a nature like him. And my mom texted me this morning, and she said to tell me they was putting in a special prayer request for little Joshy, and she said that Nathan Erickson was coming there to preach. And Nathan Erickson, that's Brother Ray Erickson's grandson. Brother Erickson had, he himself had four sons. None of them are preachers. They each have their own talents and their own gifts in their own way. None of them preachers. And here, now, it passed through a generation to come up a grandson, you know. And I thought about that after she texted me, and then I read this. And I thought how that was. I said he had a nature like his grandfather. But see, it never said nothing about his grandfather being a prophet. Never said nothing about his grandfather preaching. But that nature, that humble nature that he would need, to in order for God to work through him in such a mighty way, come from his grandfather. And I thought how that passed through, that is actually his grandfather, his grandfather would have had the nature for God to be able to work through him that way, but that wasn't who God had chosen, or the generation. It wasn't for that generation. But, and I thought about how Brother Branham said that he would marry this one to that one, and this one to that one, and this one to that one. He said, till he get it on down, because he wanted that certain ting in the bell, you know. And I thought about that, how that you things that pass down from the generations, you know. And there are things that that my family will see, and they'll say, well, that's just, you're just like your grandfather, you know. And and the strange thing is, it wasn't things that you maybe, especially when you're going back to grandparents or even great grandparents, it isn't things you sit around and learn. There are things you can learn, but there are things that are just in there and come out, and a type of a nature, you know. And I'm not saying they're always good. Sometimes they're not always good. Brother Branham talked about one young man said that one of his parents, I believe it was his daddy, was Irish, and his mother was German. And Brother Branham said he's a person that would fight and fuss and hold a grudge, and said he would never make no woman a good husband until he got born again. So it ain't always the good things, you know. But then you take those things, and what would make him that way? If a man like that would get born again, boy, you think about how much of a stand he would take for God. My dad always said, he said, Jerry had a strong will. Even when I was young, they tell me that I was very independent. I wanted to do things on my own, and I didn't want no help. And I had my way how I wanted to do it, and I didn't want nobody to mess with me or it. And they're talking about when I was a baby, before I ever started school. And Dad always said I had a strong will. If I determined I was going to do something, they told me no. Well, I didn't exchange words about it. I just, Dad said I'd give him this look, and he knew from that look that no matter what I said or he said, I was going to do it anyhow. And he said it was that way before I started school, and it continued that way. And I was an individual. I remember, well, they tell me I was an individual once I made up my mind on something, nobody could sway me from it. And now this is them talking about me being a preschooler. This is about them talking about me being a preschooler. And but I remember when I was in the fourth grade, then the incumbent president was President Nixon, and George McGovern was running against him for the next election. And so we had mock elections in the classrooms. And so we had to actually have campaigns that we ran for them. And I was a campaign manager for Richard Nixon. And so I was to campaign and get votes for him. And somewhere along, and I forget how many weeks this went on, us doing these campaigns and that, besides our regular schoolwork, but it went on for some time. And sometime within there, the teacher let it slip that she was actually for McGovern. And I'll tell you how much sway that had. My assistant campaign manager voted for McGovern. I was the only one in the classroom. When the kids found out that the teacher liked McGovern, every one of them voted for him then in the class. I didn't care if the teacher liked him. I didn't care who else liked him. I didn't care what they thought. I was a campaign manager for Richard Nixon. That's who I was voting for. I didn't care what anybody else thought or liked or whatever. I knew what I thought. And and it didn't bother me that the whole class voted the other way. It didn't bother me none. Because in the end, Nixon won anyhow. And of course, I'm not going to get into his political things, you know. Remember, I was 10. But there's, then when the Lord, those things continued in my life, that when the Lord called me to the ministry, why, that's the way I've been. I've been that way for God. When God shows me something, I don't care who else, what they think or what they do or their opinion of me, I'm going to stand right there on what I know to be right. And when God tells me to do something, I don't have to understand it. Sometimes people want me to explain, why are you doing this? Because God told me. And then they want me to explain it further. Sometimes I don't have the explanation. I just know God told me and I'm doing it. I figure, you know, let it go. Let chips fall where they may, you know. I'm going to do what God said do. I learned that very early in my ministry, that I better do what the Lord was saying irregardless. Because I tell you what, you cannot please people. You can't. I'll say this, meaning no harm whatsoever, but since Brother David brought up something earlier in his testimony, you know, for, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years, actually from the time I got here, to be honest with you, I had different individuals come up and tell me, kick David Horner out of church. And I wouldn't do it. They want me to kick him out for this reason, or kick him out for that reason, or kick him out for this other reason, you know. I had several different people. I had some at the start, and then later on there was other people, folks that weren't related to him, was coming to me and telling me, you need to do something about this situation here with David Horner. And I wouldn't make no move. And I'd get criticized over it. Then when the Lord told me to do something and kick him out of church, guess who my biggest critics were? The people who were wanting me to kick him out of church years ago. Guess who some of the people that go and started siding up with him then? People that wanted him kicked out before. Now, you can't please people. You just can't. So I found out the one person you need to please, and that's him. If you please God, then you're doing the right thing. And if the people's hearts is right and they have the Holy Ghost, they'll come to it and see it. And then, you know, because what you're trying, you can't please the flesh, is what I should say. Because the flesh is fickle. The flesh is fickle. It'll change. It'll change depending on what, you know, what the temperature is or how the wind's blowing or whatever. It'll change, you know. I've seen a lot of folks, you know, they look at somebody else's way they're raising their kids and say, boy, if that was mine, and then they get one. Now what you gonna do? A lot of times they eat them words because they don't know all of what goes with it. You know, you get a strong-willed child, well, you got to direct them and you got to teach them right, but you don't want to break their spirit, you know. And, I'm not saying we've got into the way this world is. This world, they don't correct their children at all. You know, look, if you ain't going to correct your child, don't come up here and ask me to pray for him that he'll behave, because that ain't the way it works. That ain't how the scripture says do it. You know, I can pray with him, pray for him, pray for her, pray with you, but I'll tell you something. It just takes you being consistent. It takes you realizing that real love is looking past the moment and looking ahead to the future and seeing how saying no here now is going to help them on down the road, because you're not always going to be around to say no. I've had this year, my wife and I, we had two of our older children graduate from college and from the university up there in Nashville, and why they spent several years, you know, getting their education and that. We weren't with them every moment. They met a lot of new folks. They met a lot of new people. They met people of different political persuasions, people of different beliefs, people who, we weren't there right with them all the time. What are you depending on? You're depending on that basis that you set in there when they was young. And if you don't get that thing set in there, then look out. Then you're looking for trouble. But you know, I had one individual say to me one time, said, I've done everything the Bible said to do. I've raised them up in the way they should go. And said, look at them. Said, not one of them is serving God. Said, well, it wasn't even worth what I did. And I told him, I said, don't think that way. I said, because one thing the Bible says, it says when they're old, they'll not depart. It don't say a thing about when they're young and dumb. When they're, look, youth lacks experience. They can get all the book knowledge that they want. And I'm not down in education, but book knowledge without experience is not always going to get you to the right answer. You know, you experience is that isn't something you can go to the store and get. It ain't something that you're going to get going to school. They don't have a class that says, take this class, when you're done, you'll have all the experience you need. Oh, sure, they had labs where they go and do things and try to get a little bit of experience, but I'll tell you the real experience is when you get out of there. And you get out on your own, then you got to do it. Then you start getting some real world experience. Somebody told me the other day they'd started a job in retail, and they the other day went in and they were stocking, and had spent about the whole day stocking, you know, and so they come home and they said. I tell you what, I sure like that stocking better than dealing with the customers. And I said, well, that's one thing you wouldn't have to go to find out, really. I said, you could talk to anybody else who's ever been in retail, and they'll tell you, dealing with customers is not fun. You know, I've had customers throw things at me. I've had them get so mad at me when I went to open the door for them. They'd huff off and say, I'm going through that door, you know. I've had them cuss me out and everything else. They ain't, you know, you're going to run into that if you're into what they call customer service. And I'll tell you what, people, customers in retail, now they're a firm believer in the customer's always right. But I want you to know something, there's a new philosophy. No, the customer's not always right. There is a company policy. One of the things I did, when I worked in retail, I upheld that company policy. Company policy said this, then I was upholding that. Especially when somebody brings something back they wanted to return, it looked like they've been using it for 5 years. You know, and they said, I bought this yesterday. And I'd tell them, go get me a box. Go get me, I need the box that came in and the instructions and all that. Well, they get mad at you. You know why? Because they bought that thing 5 years ago, that box and the instructions, everything else has been gone. And I guess they think you ain't got enough smarts to look up in the computer and the model numbers and see how old that model number is, you know. Oh, goodness. And then they'll act all indignant about it. Oh, how dare you? Man, we ain't sold that model in 5 years. How dare you? You call me a liar? No, I'm not calling you anything. I'm just telling you, we ain't sold that in 5 years. And they get all indignant about it, you know, like you offended them. It amazes me how offended liars can get over you calling them on their lie. It don't only happen in customer service, I'm gonna tell you. It happens in family sometimes. You know, I was Lord spoke to me some years ago. Uh, 2008, I believe it was. And the Lord spoke to me, and I called Jessica over to the house, and I was trying to express to her what the Lord spoke to me. And I told her, I said, "You're going to catch you." I said, it's God's will for you to marry David. I said, you're to catch that seed. And I said, the Lord showed me this. I said, that you're going to have a son. And that son you're going to have, he's going to be the one that will catch that from the Horner family to be a preacher. And I told her about that. And I was trying to. Well, then, you know, time passed and her and David were separated. Well, it didn't seem like how in the world could that come to fruition, you know. And and I never told nobody else about this. I never told nobody else about it before, you know, and I haven't really told nobody since till today. And, but, you know, if someone knows, they say, well, why in the world are you doing David like you're doing him? Friends, look, the most important thing to me was getting his soul right. And you're talking about a strong-willed, hard-headed individual. And I know sometimes maybe it's different ones that might have looked like that they might have thought, well, no, he ain't trying to get. Look, the Lord told me I had to cut off every avenue and option that David had and make him be alone before he was going to turn. And so I was determined to do it. And, you know, maybe you say, well, it'd help if you'd explain that a little more. There's some things you can't explain. You just got to do it, and you trust God, you know. And I did get scared real bad one time. David was in a service, and I thought he had turned down the Lord for the last time. And, boy, I got so scared. I walked to the back. Brother Wayne came back and said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "You are as pale as a ghost." And I said, "Boy, I really got scared out there." And I said, I pray he hadn't. I said, I got real scared. You say, oh, come on, wouldn't it? Well, now, go back and read the message where Brother Branham preached on souls in prison now. And Brother Branham says, I pray it ain't that, because I got kids out there that's not saved. That was a prophet of God. So God don't always tell his prophets everything, and he don't always tell his preachers everything. And you don't know. So I don't go around saying, you know, God told me this or that, unless God did. And I was back there in the back, and I heard David, I thought I heard his voice, and we don't got the system set up yet where we can see or hear good back there. So I rolled over to the door and opened the door so I could hear what was going on. And I heard Brother David as he was talking, giving part of his testimony about the trip in Ohio and things and that. And I turned around and told Mina, I said, you know, I said, Brother Harrison's grandson's preaching at the church up in Ohio today, my brother's church. I said, ain't that something? I said, none of his sons were preachers. And I said, you remember, I said, this is what the Lord told me. I said, you know, look at something. I said, I already see that boy. He acts like his daddy. I said, you think you'll be able to hold Michael off that platform when he gets older? I said, I don't believe you'll be able to. I said, because he already acts like his daddy. He can't hold his peace. He's got it. It gets on him. He's got to say something about it. And when we pray over the food, as soon as we're done praying, he'll say, amen. And he could be fussing and impatient about getting his food, but as soon as you pray, he gets quiet. And as soon as you're done praying, he'll say, amen, throws up that hand, you know. And he'll throw up his hand and say, hallelujah. And the other day I got my guitar out. I hadn't had it out in a while, and I thought, well, I'll just see what he thinks about this. And I got the guitar out, and I started playing it, and I thought, you know, he'd do like most kids. He'd come over and look at it, want to pick at it, or watch what I was doing. No, he turned around, raised his hand, started walking around saying hallelujah and clapping his hands and singing, you know. I don't know what he was singing, but he knew what he was singing. And I just, Brother Branham says, you look like your parents. There's something about them. He said, you see a little girl and you say, don't she look like her mother? She acts like her mother. You've seen people do that. Now, if we're born of our Heavenly Father, God, who calls those things which are not as though they were, there's got to be something in us like that. Now, I've been talking about all these earthly, natural things. How we can take after grandparents or parents or whatever. Now I want you to look at something. Some people think when they come and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, then they become a child of God. Well, that's not really true. You become a child of God in that now you're going to look to Him as your Heavenly Father and follow Him. But if you're going to ever be a child of God, you started out being a child of God. There might have been a day where I didn't act like my dad. And I, trying to find myself and who I was, there might have been a day when things I would do, and that, it wouldn't look like I even come from the same family. But as you begin to mature, and it's that way. When we're born in this world, there's a seed in us already. Brother Branham said there was a seed of God in Paul. And said when Paul was on the road taking those letters, that the light appeared to him, and he said that light was the Logos. And he said that light, then it was the Word. And he said, and the Word spoke. And he said, and the Word that was in Paul, that seed, it met it, it heard it. Because Jesus said, there are those that have ears, and yet they hear not. And they said they have hearts, but they understand not. So there was many in the days of Jesus that would hear His voice, but they heard it only with these ears. And be more like, you know, we would say in the natural, it just went in one ear and out the other. But there was others that they heard, and it meant something to them. I like to look at when, and I may have mentioned this the last time, last Sunday, I'm not sure. But I like to look at the difference between the priest down at the temple and them hearing Jesus and that woman down there at the well of Jacob. What a difference. They heard Him, but it just went in one ear and out the other. She heard Him and said, sir, thou art the Christ. I perceive thou art a prophet. See, it had what she heard went beyond just this natural hearing. There was something on the inside of her that heard it, which was beyond the natural, and it identified with it. Hallelujah. I often look at that story Brother Branham tells about the eagle. And he said, you know, the eagle was down there, thought it was a chicken. But the thing about it was, the eagle wasn't a chicken. It never was one. They were telling me, Brother Wayne had a chicken, just hatched out some chicks, and said they're going around imitating, acting like the mom, trying to scratch, doing different little things. Brother Bram says in that story, said that eagle, a little eagle, and it was trying to do that, scratch like a chicken. It wasn't made to do that. You know, the bee
beak on an eagle, it ain't like the one on a chicken. The beak ain't even made to go scratching around on the ground. That beak's made to rip and tear. But it always was. And Brother Branham says this in a church order book. He said, if you are a sheep, you always were a sheep. He said, you weren't born a dog or a pig and then became a sheep. He said, you always were a sheep. You know, I watch with young people how the devil comes against them. It's always trying to figure out who they are. And the devil always trying to tell them, why, you ain't part of this here. You don't belong to God. Why, you're only going to church because your mom and dad makes you go to church. And trying to get them to not identify with that, but identify with something of the world. But I'll tell you something, friends. When the right time that voice speaks, and that on the inside, if there's a seed of God, when it hears it. I'll tell you something. They could go years sitting on these pews as kids. They could be teenagers and go out here or whatever. But there is a day that's ordained that they'll hear the voice. You say, why aren't they hearing it if they're there? Go back to the gates of the Spirit. There's the five gates in the Spirit. And Brother Branham says, when the devil gets in them gates, what is he doing? Said he's blocking off the voice of God from reaching through to that soul. Because this is the thing, that's where the seed of God lays, is down in the soul. And once the voice has to reach there, the voice can't do nothing on the flesh. The voice can't do nothing in the spirit. The voice has got to reach the soul. It's got to reach that seed. And once it reaches that seed, then it'll come to life. It might look like before that. It might look like, well, it ain't ever going to happen. And you know, there are things that we inherit. Strains, Brother Adam said, comes through families. And sometimes those strains in the flesh, it'll actually be the flesh anyway, is a hindrance to God. And they'll inherit these strains. But then it'll come a time, Brother Branham says this, in it is the rising of the sun. When that seed comes to life, then you don't have to worry about whatever those strains were. Now they'll have to deal with their flesh the rest of their life in this world. But I'll tell you, there's something that'll come alive. It'll take control over that flesh. It'll take control over those strains and things that come through the families. Many said, kids have to pay for the sins of the father. You need to hear the message, it is the rising of the sun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what it is. A resurrection happens in here. Something comes to life. Oh, and when it does, well, I'll tell you, you'll act different. You'll be different. You'll think different. You'll even sometimes step back and look at yourself and say, who in the world this is? Then you'll look back the way you used to be and say, oh my goodness, I could have never got along with that individual. That's what Brother Branham says in Ezekiel. Says he'll give you a new spirit. Brother Branham said he had to give you a new spirit. Said you couldn't even get along with your old one. Hallelujah. Say, what are we doing? We're praying. You know how to determine, look, friends, Satan tries to discourage us sometimes about our children. But you know how to determine you need to be? You need to be determined like Moses was when Pharaoh said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you men go out there to worship, but you women and kids are staying here. Moses said, nope. He said, we're all going out here to worship. We're all going out there, all the kids too. And Moses wouldn't leave without them. You got to be determined. Hold on to the altar. Hold on to the horns of the altar. Cry out to God for them. Hallelujah. So I ain't going without them. Yet we know, we also say, if they don't go, it ain't going to hinder me. And that's the truth. But what I'm saying is, You be determined before the devil. Look, you say, well, I don't know where they're seed. Neither does the devil. So I figure this way. If they ain't seed, at least I can torment the devil about it while we're here. I'll give the devil fits. He's give me enough. I'll just keep right. Look, friends, the devil ain't going to let up. Why should we? I've got a son that's walked away from this. Some of y'all got kids that have walked away. I ain't quitting. I ain't giving up. Same time, neither am I going to just act on like if everything's just okay. It's not okay. You say, well, what do you do when you get around them? You always got to say something. Well, I don't know about you, but I tell you, with me, I got a pretty strong personality. And I figure like this. Hey, no, I'm not going to agree with them. I ain't going to sympathize with them. They want to cry to me about how somebody done this or that at the other church they were going to, whatever. Get in there and get where you ought to be. I find out sometimes there's folks, you know why some folks have a hard time going to church? This right here. Some folks have a hard time going to church because of this. They don't want to give offering and tithing. And they can't figure out, well, preacher's just after money. But I'll tell you what. When next Friday comes, you go up and tell your boss, don't give me nothing because I'm just after money. Who's more after money, me or you? The job I got, I ain't supposed to ask nobody for money. I ain't supposed to ask for a raise. I'm not supposed to even worry about it or think about it. And I've actually got it now where, so y'all know, I don't know who gives what. And I keep it that way. That way I can pull the dollar out and say, some people have trouble because of this. Because I don't know who gives what. I don't know if you give cash, write a check, or whatever. I don't keep up with it. See, what do? I get a check. And that check says Bible Believers Tabernacle at the top of it. And it's wrote out to me. And I go and deposit that in the bank. Pay my bills. That's what I get. I don't know what y'all make. I don't know who gives what. I don't know whether you give or not. I don't know how often you give. I don't know if you skip. I don't know if you give more. I have no idea. Now, when I first started here as pastor, didn't have nobody else do all that, so I was having to do it. I don't do it now. And I'm glad I don't do it now. It gives me a whole lot of liberty. You know, back when I did do it, there was an individual. We'd bought a new car. By the way, that's the biggest lemon I think I've ever bought. No, I'll take it back. It's the second biggest lemon. But both of them come from Chrysler Corporation. Sorry about that. I bought a Plymouth one time. Phew. That thing, I tell you what, every year it broke down every April. Every April. Now I got one sitting out there. It ain't even got a battery in it. It needs a couple things replaced on it. I just got tired working on it. And
the sunroof, we went and got that thing fixed where it wasn't leaking, and it started leaking again. We went and got it fixed, and it started leaking again. Finally, I just taped the garbage bag over top of it. It don't leak now. But when I first got that car, and somebody said something to me about it, it was going to church here at the time. And I guess they really got offended. That was in 2003. In October 2003, we moved into our new place out yonder. And then November 2003, I went and bought that car. And so somehow it offended them, and they said something about it. Like I said, back then I used to know who gave. I'm glad I don't now. But they took their $100 a month and left the church, because they were offended I bought a new car and a new house. Well, I can tell you one thing. Them taking their $100 a month and leaving didn't make or break me. And this is what I thought. Now, you say, well, this sounds real mean. I don't mean it that way. I mean it to be a shock of reality. I said, well, Brother Branham made this statement. Said Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. I said, Brother Branham says, some has sold him for a whole lot less. Some has sold him for a whole lot less. I'll tell you what, friends, I wouldn't want that to be my testimony. Brother Branham says in one place, said, Elvis Presley was a modern day Judas Iscariot, he said. He said the judgment of Judas would be a pleasure next to the judgment of Elvis. And I've thought about that, and I thought perhaps they would be those who are professing to believe this message. Have all the truth right at their fingertips to make the right choice and won't make it. And I wondered, what would their judgment be like? Brother Branham said Elvis was a backslidden Pentecostal boy, meaning he never actually had the truth that folks that have this message do have. What if you have that at your fingertips, the truth and the knowledge of it? Then what? If they don't take it, what would the judgment be? I dare say, next to somebody out here in the world that you pass, that has no idea about it whatsoever, the only thing they're dealing with is whether they'll go be a church member or not. I'd say their judgment, compared to somebody who's had it all right at their fingertips, won't do anything with it. Somebody took one of my sons one time, they don't come to church here, they never come here. My son was over at their house, and they told him, said, well, we believe what y'all believe. My son looked at him and said, you do? He said, yeah. And they took him and showed him. They had the shelf, had all these message books and tapes and stuff. I said, see, we believe what y'all believe. And he looked at him, and so he come and asked me about it and told me about it. I said, well, if they believed what we believe, they'd be inside this church on Sunday morning. It don't matter how many message books and tapes you got. Are you doing what they say? Brother Branham said, you need to go to church. Friends, even without the message books and tapes, the Bible says you need to go to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, it says. Now that's a warning. That ain't just a, hey, it'd be a good idea if y'all go to church. That's a warning. It says, forsake not. and says even so much more as you see the day approaching. I feel sad and sorry, actually, for those that believe just possessing the books or the knowledge is going to be enough. Boy, how, you know, Brother Branham talked about, remember that woman, she said, I wouldn't give that religion to a cow. And said when she went to die, I believe it was that one, said the freckles popped out on her face. And there was another one that was dying. And remember, she was a Sunday school teacher, I believe it was. And I forget now what it was exactly she had said to Brother Branham. But she was dying, and so they had her pastor come in there, and she said, you get that hypocrite out of here. You remember that? And then she started calling out for them to get Brother Branham there. And by the time he got there, she had died. But they went on about how she went to screaming and things. And Brother Branham said, what happens is, he said, she acted all hard and harsh for her, said, that soul. Now listen to this. He said, when she started screaming, said that soul that she had sinned away come back to her, and it haunted her in her last breath. Man. And I thought, what about these individuals? But they're living with the knowledge of this message, maybe possessing things within their hands of books or so forth. And yet they're just living just as carefree as can be. They've got the knowledge even of the word. They got the Bible. But they're living just as carefree as can be. They feel no condemnation about not going to church. Matter of fact, they feel like it ain't necessary. Have you ever heard of such a religion before in your life? Have you ever heard of a sect of the Baptists all of a sudden believing, well, we don't got to go to church no more. We just stay home. You ever heard that come out of the Baptists? No. You ever heard of any of the Pentecostals gather up and say, you know what? Now us Pentecostals decided we don't have to go to church no more. All we got to do is say we believe God. Or even worse, all we got to do is say that we love this one particular man. Now, don't that sound crazy? When I put it in the terms like that, it sounds ludicrous. And yet, out of this end time, there is a group or a faction of people. Come out and they, well, you don't have to go to church. Just listen to a thing. I'm going to tell you what some of that is. It's that thing I held up earlier. Some of it's that. And another portion of it, because they'll people will take and make out checks and send it up to Voice of God. They're tithing. So I'm sending my tithing. Well, boy, you sure ain't doing it the way the Bible said do it. Listen, a tape, a CD, or an MP3 doesn't need to make money to live. It doesn't need money to live on. So why are people sending tithing to it? Well, one thing is, they can send any amount they want. Is irregular or regular, whatever. Some of them maybe send just the way it should be and just send it up there. You say, are you envious of it? No. No, that ain't why I'm saying it. What I'm saying is, that soul that they've sent away, what's going to happen when that thing comes back to them? What about if they leave out of this world and everybody around them thinks they just went in peace and they step into that next dimension? And the description from the message will not be a description of Brother Branham going beyond the curtain of time, but the description that they'll have from the message will be that description Brother Branham had when he went to hell. I don't know how we got off this direction. But I'll tell you this. Take a look at yourself. Say, well, I've saw, maybe some of you has told me, and I know I have myself, saw many different factions break off. Many different doctrinal camps and beliefs, and some of them, one maybe just is more crazy than the next. And yet, here you are. You're not caught up in a one of them. Why? Something in you got quickened to life by the word. Brother Branham talks, there's a difference about being quickened to a church and birthed by the church or being birthed by the word. There's a lot of people, they've been birthed by a church or something. But those have been birthed by the word. There's some, look, I'm not worried about, you know, I know that this pulpit, it's mine to guard, and I know I give an account for it. But every once in a while, there could be something slipped through. And I'll say this, I believe there has. You have somebody, you know, come to preach, and you think the world of them and think everything's fine, and find out, no, it's not. I've had preachers come, and one time I had a preacher come, and he hit so hard on women working, I thought, Lord, have mercy. He's just made a lot of work for me. So I had to bring some messages and show exactly what all, everything, that the prophet said concerning women working. I felt real bad at the time because that person knew this church and knew these people, knew that more than half the women was working. And I thought, if you had respect for me as the pastor, you'd have left that alone because it wasn't your place. Then they go out and show that when they said all that, they didn't even have the Holy Ghost to start with. I'm not trying to say nothing bad or bash them, but I'm just saying this. There's been times, maybe one slipped through the crack here or there under my guard. But you know what? I ain't worried about y'all being deceived. Because you weren't birthed by me. You weren't birthed by a church. You are birthed by the word. And Brother Branham says, when you're birthed by the word, he said, you'll say amen to every word of God. And when there's something that's off of it, he says, it'll be an uncertain sound. Hallelujah. And you know what? You say, well, why am I here? Because you're acting more like your Heavenly Father. Listen to this. I'm going to read this to you before we close. Brother Branham says, now, when God gets rich, deep down here, he's talking about down here in the soul. See, the more you get God in here, the more you'll believe God because there's more of him. And the more you cultivate this down here, the more you can believe God. It's like a child when he's a little bitty fella
Maybe he doesn't know very much about it, but as he grows older, he begins to get knowing more of God. And that's when this spirit in here takes the nature of our Heavenly Father, who is God. Like I take the nature of my earthly father from my earthly parents. The more that you seek him, the more of him you get in there, the more you'll begin to act like him. So we just need more of him. Now I'll close with this. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, and your days shall be long. It's a commandment, but it's the first commandment with promise. Brother Branham speaks about it, and he says, I know you've heard my life story. He said, my daddy was a drinker. He made drink, you know. And he said, but you know what? He said, I don't care what he done. He's my daddy. And he said, I respect him. Brother Branham later said, I led him to Christ. He said, and my mom too. But he said, don't never sink down and get to a place where you call them old man and old woman. He said, you respect them. That's your mom and dad. And he said, the one place he said, how he said his daddy worked for 75 cents a day. He said he'd work out hard and said, come home and his mama had to cut the shirt off his back where the shirt had got stuck to his skin from working out there so hard. Burnt and so on. He said he done that to take care of me. Said he might have been a drinker, but he done that to take care of me. Another thing Brother Branham said, he was quoting, this is a message of it was actually his life story in 1952. He says, he quoted that, honor thy father and mother, which may lengthen the days upon the earth the Lord thy God giveth thee. He said, that's the first commandment with promise. He says, be kind to your mother and dad. I thought that was really quite something. There's many that say they respect them, but are you being kind to them? Are you being kind to them? You know, my daddy was the kind of man you didn't want to get whooping from. I seen a brother some years ago. He had a son same age as my brother. And I saw him give him a whipping. And then he said, now, son, that was a whipping. But they just kind of, you know, gave him a couple of pats. Said, now that was a whipping. And I thought, well, I'll tell you what, nobody had to tell me when my daddy got done that I had got a whipping. I knew I had got one. I wanted that thing to get done and over with. Sometimes it seemed like it kept going on and on. I think, Lord, have mercy. Won't this ever stop? My mama, she never really used a belt. She always liked to use other things like a switch out of the tree, you know. I hated them switches. I'm telling you what's the truth. You know what the worst thing about a switch is? When they make you go get it yourself. That, why in the world you want to go get your own switch for? You go get it. You're the one wanting to whip me. I look back now and think how stupid I was. I was going to get whipped no matter what. Why did I go get it?
I should have said, you're going to whip me either way, you go get it. Go get me a switch, I'm going to whip you. What verb are we using here? It's pretty important. What are we using here? You're going to whip me or you'll whip me. I tell you what, boy, a switch will sting the fire out of your legs. I was a hillbilly, you know. I was most of the time outside, no shirt on. There's a lot of pictures they got of me outside playing and stuff. I never had no shirt on. If they have short pants to be had, I'd be wearing them, you know. And sometimes out there barefoot, but the only thing I have on is a pair of short pants. Boy, I tell you, when you get whipped by a switch, that thing stings, boy. But you know what? Look, I'm going to say this, and I don't, if it's different with you, well, I'm not trying to project anything. But it's just what I thought. I ain't never been arrested. Somebody was asking me about it, about getting in trouble, that, and I told the lady, I said, ma'am, only person I've ever been in trouble with in my life was my daddy. And I said, you know what? And just sitting there, just standing there when I was giving this information, I said to her, I said, ma'am, you know what? I said, I've never been arrested in my life. I've never been in jail. Only time I've ever been in court for myself, been some traffic violations. But I ain't never spent a second in a jail somewhere. And I said, I'm not saying it with pride, just hear me out. I said, you know what? I think my being in trouble with my daddy might have helped keep me out of them. Because my daddy, I tell you what, I figured if he could put a port on me like that, what in the world would the law do to me? My daddy taught me respect for the law, you know. I tell you what, Brother Gene, anytime one of them's ever come up beside me, I say, yes, sir, no, sir, or ma'am, whatever is befitting, you know. I'm respectful to them. I don't mouth off, you know. I tell you what, when they walk up there, they got the power in their hand. And I don't want to give them something else, you know. Supposing they was going to give me a warning and I mouth off and they give me a ticket. I've got pulled over a time or two around here. My tags expired one time. Brake light was out. I got pulled over here about, I don't know, probably a month ago. I got pulled over my truck. A light was out. One of my tail lights was out. And I didn't know it. And so he had pulled me over and he'd come up to the side. And, of course, I have that. Played around there some things to say that I was a veteran. And he said, who's the veteran here? I said, I am, sir. He said, well, stuck his hand in and said, thank you for your service. He said, look, I just pulled you over. I wanted to warn you about your light. Would you get that fixed? You know. And then he said something. He said something to me about Michael was there and Jessica. And he said, boy, that's a cute little boy. I said, yeah, I think so. That's my grandson. I said, his name is Michael. He said, well, that's a good name. I said, I don't hardly even know if I want to tell you his last name. He said, well, what is it? And I said, Horner. He said, what? And I said, Horner. He said, whose boy is he? And I said, David Horner. He said, well, that's a good thing. He said that he'll take after his mommy, maybe. I guess he knew David Horner. But I'll tell you what, here's my point. Think about your future when you're raising your kids. Sometimes you got to look past the moment. I hated whipping my kids. I really did. I still do. Well, I ain't whipped any in quite a long time, probably won't. The other day, Will turned 13 years old. And that's hard to believe, ain't it? 13 years old. And, but I, when you correct him, you got to think about, I love him. I'm really, well, I could give away my secrets. Maybe I shouldn't. But I'm not really as hard a guy as what some people think I am. But you got to think about their future instead of just the present. Sometimes parents, they want to become friends with the kids. Well, you have to wait till they grow up to do that. As long as they need your correction, you cannot be their friend. Because there's too many parents that tries to do that. Next thing you know, you got parents going out with kids partying, which has been in the news here not too many months ago. Some woman going to jail partying with her kids. Say, this world's going insane. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day. Let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for your word. Pray, Lord, that it's been an encouragement to help. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll bless the people now, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll bless the fathers today, Lord. Bless your men, Lord. Lord, may their families realize, Lord, what a blessing it is to have them, dear God. Bless the families today, I ask, Lord. Lord, I ask God you'll bless my dad and my wife's dad today. We won't get to see him. Pray you bless them, God. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, Brother Jim. Yeah, sure. Yeah. To be like Jesus.